Hello, Jays fans. It's a bit of a somber episode and mood around the Jaybird watching clubhouse right now. We meet on Microsoft Teams for what is now the That's it for Blue Jays baseball in 2020. After 62 games, two games we did not think we were going to get at the start of the year, at least had some optimism that there was a chance they'd make the playoffs. But yeah, it sucks. They're done. And Craig and Adam, my co-hosts for this evening, I want to give you guys the floor and just sum up how you're feeling. Let the Twitterverse, let everybody tuning in on Periscope, wherever they are, listening on whatever podcasting network you choose to listen to on, let them know how you're feeling about the sweep and specifically how today went down. Why don't we start with you, Adam?
Well...
Did it catch you off guard?
Yeah, I thought I might have a little bit to collect. I should have come more prepared. Look, what are you going to do? That's literally my reaction to this. What are you going to do? Your ace comes out, throws a dud. I don't think he even topped 90 all game. He gave up, was it six runs to start with him?
Three earned, though, wasn't it?
Three earned? Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
so it, on paper, it looks a lot better than it actually was, just saying.
Yeah, when you go, if I were to tell you yesterday, both of you, hey, tomorrow guaranteed Blue Jays are using six pitchers, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And that's exactly what happened today. And I see a lot of people pinning this again on Montoyo. Again, we went over this yesterday after the game one, the post-game show. I don't see this being his issue. I really don't. I think he pulled him appropriately when he was supposed to be pulled. Ryu just didn't have it. He didn't. And Bo had two costly errors, too.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the game. They just weren't on their game today. They weren't disciplined enough, I suppose. And, you know, when you're dealing with a team this young, you sort of should expect it. And I hate saying this because it looks like I'm giving them out clauses, but I mean, guys, we didn't expect them to go to the World Series, right? I mean, this is a giant learning experience for them. And it is ultimately a happy be there kind of moment. And what you want to think that they'll do is capitalize on this learning experience, come back next year more determined and more pissed off that they got swept out of a playoff series that otherwise they wouldn't have even been in. And maybe they'll come out more determined and more fired up. So you got to chalk this up to, but I'm just glad I get to see Blue Jays postseason baseball in 2020. I know that sounds really optimistic and sort of defeatist in a way, but really I am. And the better team won. What are you going to do? What can you do besides, you know, it's different between yesterday because there was a glimmer of hope at the end of yesterday's game.
Yes.
Today you had seven innings just to get over it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm okay.
Correct.
So, is anybody else enjoying the fact that we got to see Nate Pearson's coming out?
Yeah, he did great.
that was a very positive aspect of this game.
Five strikeouts and six batters?
Yep.
And he was pumped. Oh, my God. It was so much fun to watch him. That was the best part for Blue Jays fans, other than the fact that, yes, things suck, but Danny Jansen actually looks like apparently he plays better in the playoffs than he does in the regular season, or at least the bat is coming alive finally. But... guys, I think Adam summed it up nice. We weren't expecting to be here in the playoffs, let alone even have maybe in a season, dear.
Right.
So there's that, even that extra point to it. They were above 500. They looked good against some teams that were clearly better than them for the whole season. This is the only game today that they had were not in contention with the Tampa Bay Rays all season.
True.
Yesterday, they weren't blown out or anything. It was just one of those things they couldn't get over the hurdle. And Brendan, what was it, the fact that you said that they had like nine hard hit balls that were hit right at people or something like that this morning when we were chit-chatting? Yes. That is just slightly insane. Not the same story tonight, but hey, shit happened. That really is the best thing to say. I really don't think we could have titled the episode that instead of, oh, what was that? I'm happy we got here. It would have been nice to see a game three, at least to make it interesting. I like the idea of being swept. And honestly, I hope that they're in that same thing because coming into next spring training, I think this makes them hungry. And honestly, I was surprised that there wasn't a little bit more going on in that dugout at the end of the game anyways, because it almost looked like they were checked out after the third inning, other than Nate Pearson and Jansen. And I didn't see it, but I was hoping I would. You know, did anybody see Villar, or did they mention anything on any of the feeds?
I saw him on the dugout in one shot on the Sportsnet feed. It was after Jansen's first home run. He was one of the – well, he wasn't one of the first people in there, but he did give him high fives and had a big smile on his face. But that was it.
I can't believe they even let him in the dugout.
Yeah, I agree. But
I'm surprised there isn't more of a story around that whole thing.
There will be.
Yeah.
If you're a Major League Baseball team looking for somebody like Villar this offseason and you know about that, how in the hell is he ever going to get a Major League Baseball job again? I really do not. Literally the most deflating thing for a person on an individual level that you could do to a ball club or any team for that matter. Like if I all of a sudden just said, sorry, guys, see you, and I'm walked out of here and left you all hanging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, are we still recording?
Fuck it. Gone.
I think the only place that you could see for Jonathan Villar in 2021 as a free agent, if you knew that, was a team that just started a rebuild or is a year or two into it. But like kind of like how he was on Baltimore last year. But
Is that too infectious to go and infect your youth? Would that be the question?
It could be. It could be for sure. That's why the Marlins traded him, really, for a team that won today. The Marlins are up 1-0 in their series against the Cubs. Guys, the elephant in the room is the starting rotation and how that all played out. We did not get to see Taijuan Walker. I think what we agree is probably the last time we saw Taijuan Walker. He went 3 innings, didn't get up a hit. He was perfect. We didn't get to see him this series. But there's still people questioning if it was the right decision to start Shoemaker in game one, followed by Robbie Ray and Hyunjin Ryu in game two. I don't know about you guys. I think there's actually two elephants in the room, so I'll start with this one. If you were handed box scores and you look at just the starters' lines and you see 6 innings, 1 run, however many strikeouts, and then you look at today's when you have an inning and 2/3 or an inning and 1/3, 3 earned runs, but 6 runs were given up by you. I think most people would have said the latter is probably game two, and that probably would be Shoemaker and Robbie Ray, and the first line is probably what you're expecting from Hyunjin Ryu. So let's put this to bed. Did they make the right decision with the starting rotation? Craig, I'll start with you this time on that.
I'm going to summarize this. It's a very similar COVID thing for everybody else. If I was playing the stock market right now and I played with this shitty math, I would have fucked up and been broke. I'm just saying. I still don't get it. The math doesn't, it doesn't say baseball to me. I don't care what it was. And if Ryu pitched today poorly because of any other extenuating circumstance, and whether it was an injury, wasn't ready, couldn't mentally prep for the game, whatever it was, I just don't see why we, at least if he's not doing it, Walker should have. We did not use one of our best assets in this series and didn't even get a chance to. Should have used something.
Adam?
Are we assuming the same results?
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Right. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not trying to dismiss the question. It just doesn't matter. I will say this. We are speculating as to whether or not Ryu was hurt. To me, he looked uncomfortable. Yes. I don't know if it was a physical discomfort, if it was sort of just getting mentally rattled. And Brendan, you've mentioned this in a previous episode, how while with the Dodgers, he wasn't, you know, lights out. Maybe he's just got that David Price syndrome that he's just not effective enough in the playoffs. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. And that doesn't mean I regret having him. I don't. No. But maybe it's just a hurdle that he needs to get over. And moreover, Ben Nicholson-Smith tweeted out that Montoya said that Ryu's fine. He's fine. He just didn't have the fastball. I think it was the right call because you have to level out. First of all, we talk about which one is true. Is it Ryu was experiencing, you know, soreness and wanted the extra day and he was granted that wish? Or was it, no, the analytics say you perform better on an extra day's rest and this is the reason they gave? We'll never know.
Yeah.
But if it was the latter, then I question the decision, especially if Ryu was like, no, I want to go out game one.
Yeah.
I question the decision. Moreover, if we talked about yesterday with Shoemaker, if you're going to trot him out game one, you trot him out for more than 3 innings. Again, we talked about the miscommunication. Nothing really you can do about that now. Hindsight is 2020. I just don't know that we can pinpoint specific situations and say this is the reason why they lost, because I think it was a bunch of things. But Craig, more to your point, baseball is a game that you have to sort of feel out. And I know you want to algorithm the shit out of it. And that's where baseball is sort of trending. And I understand the value of it. I'm not trying to, you know, disregard that and make it seem worthless. But there comes a time where intuition and there comes a time for where the feel for the game is valuable. And you can't really quantify or make that into a statistic. These are intangibles. So it depends on which side of the aisle you land on. If you agree with me that intangibles are important, they do exist, and we ought to at least acknowledge them. And maybe, I'm not saying game plan entirely around them, but when a situation calls for it, you utilize it, or you're just going to go by the numbers. Seems to me Blue Jays are going by the numbers. So we have to live and die by this. They got to the postseason as a result, but maybe a sense of flexibility would do them well into the next season.
I've been a firm believer that this is at least a 50-50 argument between sabermetrics, all the math, and the eye test. There is no way you get past any of this kind of stuff going too far one direction or the other. Baseball is baseball. There's a game. I'm sorry. Regardless of what's going to happen, the computer cannot predict everything. Or at least, you know, we're not at that point where computers can predict that kind of crap. You know, it's not Skynet taking over the world of baseball here. It's math. And hard math that somebody is sitting there and crushing numbers. And I think that helps you form a really good game plan. But the problem is you need to know, and I think this is where the issue has been with the Blue Jays all season, it's this part that we've seen the last 2 days. This is the microcosm of the whole problem in general. I think you need to know when it is valuable to follow that data and when you should be able to go with the gut feel and have a pair to go away from your game plan, because that's how the moment is taking things instead of that. I think metrics are a great way to compare players. I think especially young players, if you can get the data out of the minor league system, that is the best thing you can possibly get to know if this guy is trending in the right direction or he's just having bad luck, whatever it might be. That is the exact reason why Alejandro Kirk is in this uniform right now, if you want to make that argument. The guy doesn't, on paper, he looks like he's not going to be a Major League Baseball player. But when you start looking at the intangibles, all the other stuff he brings to the team, and the fact that there is something to the actual cold calculated numbers with Alejandro Kirk that makes him look like he's going to be somebody that stands out. This is how a lot of guys get out there, and it's what happens. There's got to be somewhere in that balance, and I don't think the Blue Jays have that balance at the moment.
Yeah, I'm all for number shaping decisions off the hop. Like, if the way they decided to do the rotation, there's 100% based on numbers, but once you actually get into the feel of the game and see how it all starts to unfold, that's when I think you need to have some sort of just not be so rigid. And we talked about this last night with Shoemaker. It's like he looked like he was going to cruise to six or seven innings, and who knows, Robbie Ray did give up that one run that made it 1-0. Now Jansen did let it slip through the back side of him. But still, maybe Shoemaker goes back out there for the fourth inning and throws up another zero. And he continues to do so. I think whenever you're dealing with humans, there's always going to be a human element in the game. You cannot replace human elements when you're doing with when you're dealing with human beings. So I'm all for analytics. Blue Jays fans, I'd say get ready for more as we continue into 2021, because there'll be more decisions like this. Odd roster construction, odd day-by-day batting orders, but at the same time, you do need to go with your gut from time to time and stand up for yourself and explain to your boss why you made a decision against what they told you to do. Does Charlie feel comfortable doing that as of right now? I don't think he does. Who knows? But yeah, I think that's one thing that they as an organization need to improve on for 2021. It's just, as of now, a little bit better in-game decision-making or going with your gut and not letting numbers dictate the entire story, because that's impossible when you're dealing with human beings.
If I can add to that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I understand that my reaction towards that, or my, you know, summary of that might have sounded a little negative towards analytics. I don't want to give off that impression. But it is, I should note that, you know, if anybody out there has a problem with roster construction or how the Blue Jays are using computer data or statistics to sort of spit out a lineup, I just wanted to be noted that the Rays trotted out 59 different lineups over the course of 60 games.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're doing the same thing, except, again, their players, Not that our players are bad, just at this current moment, the Rays players are better. We lost to a better team, right? And so there is a space for this to work, and maybe this is just part of the growing and learning process with these young players blossoming. I'll give you that. But to say that they're, and I'm neither of us, none of us rather have, but if anybody's out there saying it's got to be 100% based on, you know, intuition, you're wrong, because the Rays are proving this is the method.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Adam, you brought up something that I want to ask you guys, and this question is not going into the regular, how the whole season played out. We'll save that for another time, but as kind of more like a rapid fire answer comes to your mind, what you think about knowing that they are swept 2-0. Adam, is this series result a disappointment? Because you did say the Rays are a better team, and they were the only team, I believe, to win 40 games in this shortened 60 game season. They're a much better team on paper. So really quick, is the 2-0 sweep a disappointment? And should Blue Jays fans be angry with the sweep? Or is it just kind of like what happened happened? Again, we're happy to be here. A game three would have been nice. How are you feeling? How would you answer that?
I'm not angry. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my buddy Connor about this. I said I was way more upset about the Raptors loss, and I'm a bigger Blue Jays fan than I am the Raptors, and I'm not upset that the Blue Jays lost, because my attitude is wasn't anticipating being here. Glad we're having the learning experience. Glad I was able to buy a $40 Blue Jays hat with the postseason patch on it. I'm good.
There you go. I'm slightly weird. This is stage one, and we're the thing that pisses me off is that the actual Tampa Bay Rays offense beat us.
Yeah.
Their offense, guys, other than in steals, they are like in the 20th percentile. Like, they're like in the lower parts of offensive stuff for the rankings in baseball. This is a team built on pitching, and they beat us with their pitching. But you would think it would have been closer to like what the games were for us earlier in this year, especially today, that it would have been, you know, the score would have been right on top of each other. It wouldn't have been something like this, that they were able to actually, you know, carve out a 6-run lead. And out of all people doing that, Mike Zunino hitting a goddamn 2-run home run, who hasn't hit a .150. He's been, you know, Danny Jansen's at least showed a little thunder. Mike Zunino has 2 home runs the whole season and has looked pretty damn rough for the whole time. And the grand slam to Renfro, I can understand, but he is also batting a .150 for the season or something like that. So to get beat by those two guys on those two big hits, that part stings to me a little bit, because I think obviously we know Ryu's better than that. And then watching some of our defense kind of collapse around it to kind of take the wind out of the sails, because I think they came into this game fired up, and those couple things, that offensive showing from the Rays, timely times, were what the difference maker was in this game. Because the bullpen did their job. Our bullpen, that is.
Yeah, the grand slam definitely was the backbreaker in that. When, you know, when Zunino hit the home run and it was 3-0, I'm like, okay, if you get out of this 3-0 down, you give yourself a chance. At 3-0, I was like, ooh, kind of like yesterday. It would be tough to come back against the Rays with their pitching. But they did score 2 runs in the end, and it would have made it at least a bit closer. After the grand slam, I think it said it, and just like, it's probably not going to happen, but if it does, we'll be thrilled. I got to bring this up because one of my best friends texted me during the game, and he put a big, big smile on my face with this. And I'll preface this by saying, think of Blue Jays talk and some of the old Blue Jays talk callers that call in and complain about absolutely everything. I got a text from him, and funny enough, his name is also Brendan. And he texted me saying, I'm going to call Mike Wilner and ask him if it's time for a rebuild. And it's a complete joke, but that just...
He'd hang up.
Yeah, you would hang up immediately. And for the next 20 minutes, I just could not get that text message out of my head. I kept on smiling and chuckled to myself whenever I thought about it. I'm just like, oh, I just can so picture how this would go over.
Oh,
it would be a hang up and be like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Would you even suggest that? And we blocked Craig on camera, at least.
Oh, Craig, you ducked on the camera view.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Okay.
Well,
it's just you and me.
For a little while.
Hopefully it's still recording. Yeah, no, I do think that when it comes to, you know, these comic relief things and the way we sort of analyze, you know, today's game, obviously you do need comic relief to sort of swallow it. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if someone was dead ass serious about, calling up Wilner and saying, yo, man, I think it's time for a rebuild. I guarantee you, though, unironically and without humor, that people are calling to say fire Montoya, which I don't agree with yet.
100%. There's definitely going to be those people. Yeah, Craig just said his teams went dead, so keep going. Okay. Yeah, no, I got that text, and that just looped the mood a little bit for me. You know, Adam, I said this right before we started recording, and I think you feel the same way. I think Craig feels the same way. I don't know if I would have been able to record if they lost a game like they did last night today, or a 3-2 game where they had the tying run on second base or third base, and they just could not get that run across. To me, that just makes me way more angry than getting blown out, especially when it happens early in a ball game. The anticipation doesn't continue to crawl up and up and up and up as you get closer to the end of the ball game and get later when the stakes are higher. The fact that it became 8-0 or 7-0 in the second inning, you know, that just kind of sits with me. It's just like, yeah, it's really shitty, but at the same time, look, we have to live with this. And maybe they can come back, maybe they won't, but at least you start to prepare yourself mentally for the fact that this is it. And I don't know, do you feel the exact same way as I do on that?
Yeah, it was one of those things where you saw that, at least in the first inning, they're down one zip, and I think for two. Welcome back, Craig. And it was one of those situations where you had this glimmer of hope that they were going to come back, and then you see it ripped wide open, and I'm on the couch, and my wife is with my daughter in the other room, and I just walk out and be like, looks like that's the game. It's 7-0. So what are we doing?
Yeah.
I was like, need help. And I was still watching the game. And it's kind of one of those situations where you're literally throwing your hands up in the air and saying, they're not winning this. I mean, stranger things have happened. We could have had another repeat sixth inning like they did against the Yankees. But I'm thinking to myself, they're not winning this. It's easier to just accept it. Just tear the Band-Aid off right away and say, they're not going to win this game. Enjoy watching them for one last time and sit back and relax and watch it. That's the attitude I took, and it was way less nerve-wracking. And again, I know I sound like such a defeatist person right now because I'm just happy to be here. But at the same time, you know, I'd rather this now than when they're in their prime. Yes. Because if this happens in their prime, I'm pissed.
Me too.
And I'm thinking something's wrong. Something's wrong with the formula. But having the understanding that this is a developmental year still, and the team hasn't even touched their potential in terms of the young core, although we've seen glimmers of it, I can't be pissed. I can't. I understand that it sucks that the season's over. I'm more disappointed about that. I can't watch them more.
Yeah.
But I'm not angry of even the deficit that they lost by. The Rays beat Danny Jansen, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. It's fine.
Craig, I think you kind of caught the gist of that question based on what you heard now that you've rejoined.
Like I think I mentioned in our the beginning of it, at least I saw some glimmers of what is going to come from this roster next season with Nate Pearson, and the fact that Danny Jansen did have a very Pat Borders, like I mentioned the other day. For a playoff series.
True.
And there were enough to get me excited for next year. If they get back to the postseason next year, like you would expect, because you would think they're only going to add during this offseason, find more ways to fill in some of these gaps, at least. It might not be the big name or whatever, but there's not going to be, I'm sorry to say, even though I just pulled a John Villar.
For a second. Inadvertently.
Thank you, teams.
Yeah.
But as far as it goes, I just think there's enough here to look forward to. Yes, it sucks. I wasn't ready to stop watching Blue Jays baseball for the year. But the fun part about this is, worst case scenario, after Major League Baseball is wrapped, period, we get to dive into the offseason with all the Blue Jays fans and have everybody on here and console together and have a bright future of many years of Bo, Vladdy, and Biggio and company. So.
Agreed.
There's a lot regardless of what happened this time. I really don't think this is the first, and I don't think it's the only time.
Yeah, and you know what? You kind of teed up something nicely there. So I'll give you segue points to this final question I'll ask you guys before we start wrapping things up. Is I thought of this. I forget who put it out there. There's somebody on the Sportsnet broadcast during the game or something I saw on Twitter. And if you can't think of anybody right off the top of your head for what I'm about to ask you, there's no problem. But Craig, I'll start with you. Give me one guy heading into the offseason, and this will keep our future discussion to offseason mode. Give me one guy that the Blue Jays traded for that you'd like to see them re-sign on a reasonable contract, and give me one guy that's under club control for the next 2 years, but not been officially re-signed beyond their arbitration years. So that could be something like Vladdy, it could be Bo, it could be Teoscar, whoever it is. Give me one for each of those categories.
I think you need to sign one of the core guys, if not get them just happy, locked up, period. If you want to run away with Bo, Vladdy, and Biggio and just make it solid, I think that's the basis of your franchise for this year, years to come. And I think having that set in stone and happy, very much in the Luis Roberts level contract. You know, it's one thing to know that they're going to make arbitration, but make it solid. Don't give them this bullshit. You know, they're going to be Blue Jays for years to come. Make them happy. Let them play out every game. Give them the chance that Josh Donaldson did not get by having that extended contract to be happy in Toronto and playing Blue Jays baseball. I will say the other obvious one is our trade deadline guys. I would think that if you don't try for Taiwan Walker, I think you're going to be sorely mistaken with the other options on this free agent. And we're going to be hoping for somebody like Nate Pearson to step into what we saw tonight and continue to do that in the rotation. I think they just need one more big name guy. It might not even have to be a big name guy. Somebody very similar to Ryu that is a sneaky good guy, period, to be at the top of that rotation, to just anchor in for all these other young, talented guys for them to fight out for the last three spots. And honestly, maybe it's Shoemaker. I really don't know.
Adam, what about you?
I was going to say, obviously, Walker, depending on the cost, I think he's going to end up having a high price tag. But Shoemaker, I think I would definitely bring him back if he wants to come back. I don't know how favorable the Blue Jays will sound to him as a result of, you know, pulling after three innings. For me, and this may be controversial, if you're going to lock up or extend or, you know, avoid arbitration with any of the young core, I think you have to do it all at once. I think you need to lock up Lourdes, but Cavan, Bo, and Vlad at least all at once. The problem with that is if you're going to do that all at once, and again, we've talked about this at length, so I'm not trying to be, you know, controversial here. You need to address Vladdy's conditioning. And it's not nearly to the degree as like a Pablo Sandoval. I'm not saying that, but there needs to be a commitment in saying, hey, prove to us for a year that you can stay in shape all year. Like, just prove it. Because I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm not an athlete, but I think he would perform better as a result. I think it would unlock a lot of untapped potential. So having said, so if he can have a solid offseason with solid nutrition, good training, heading into spring training, and he maintains that all year, then I could say, okay, you've earned it. And as a result, obviously, Cavan and Bo, we know what you are. Let's just get all that out of the way. We'll extend the three of you right now. Have the space and the capital to do it.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to do a player on the roster right now, it's Teoscar. Lock him up. Even if it means just buying out his arbitration year so you don't have to worry about it. It's what, 3 years of arbitration he has?
I think it's three.
If you want to sign him for a five-year deal as of right now, and you know, so you buy out those arbitration years and you have him for an extra two or four and an option, do it now.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's also that nice back for him, too.
Yes.
You have a good, 70, 80-game sample size carrying over from the year before,
yeah,
what he really looks like as a baseball player. He might not be the best defender, but honestly, he's looked very well Jose Bautista in right field since they've supplanted him in right field. He's got a cannon for an arm that makes up for a lot of those little bounce around the outfield balls that, you know, like we saw last night, that he might not have gotten to as quickly, but whatever, I don't care.
Look, we saw it with Jose Bautista when he broke out. Now, I know that's 54 home runs, but they did not wait around, and also a different regime. They locked Jose up, and it ended up being a complete steal of a contract for the production they got. I agree, Adam. I would lock up Teoscar right now, whether it's a 4 or 5 year deal, extend him something very similar to Randall, because I think he's way better offensively than Randall Grichuk as an all around hitter. if I was to pick the order in which I think the three kids will get their extensions, I think it'll be Bo first, and I would not be surprised to see it this offseason. I still think they're going to wait maybe one more year to do Vlad and Kevin. There's still some things that they both have to figure out. I think Bo is the most polished of the three of them right now and the most ready to go. So I would go Bo there. And to put a bow on who I think should be extended from who they got at the deadline, I'm operating under the assumption that Taiwan Walker is going to be one of the most in-demand free agents out. That's how he performed. So I don't think it's likely. But just based on how bad Robbie Ray was this year, I think you could get him back on a cheap one-plus option year. And you know what? You could load it up with some incentives. Yeah. And another full spring training and start of the season for Pete Walker to work with Ray, you could have one and one A and one B with Ryu, Pearson, and Ray to start next year. Now, it could backfire, but that's why it's a short-term contract. I do like the idea of Robbie Ray, and I would see it personally because I don't think Walker will be back.
Yeah, I almost think you can get Robbie Ray back on a little bit more money-loaded version of the Matt Shoemaker deal.
Yeah.
Just because he does have a little bit more of a track record than Shoemaker has had. And I think that it will, you know, probably drop an extra mil on it or whatever it might be. But I think that something like that would actually be very beneficial. And he's obviously been very comfortable since coming into the Blue Jays organization. I can't say Toronto.
Right.
But yeah, there is some level of comfort there that I think will carry pretty well in his decision. Where the flip of that is the opposite for Taiwan Walker. You didn't even use me in the playoffs. What do you want me here for?
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, I mean, guys, that's really all I have for you. I know we wanted to keep it short. I wanted to get your thoughts on the season ending. It sucks to say. I think we were all under the impression that this series was going to go at least three games. So it sucks knowing that we won't be tuning into Blue Jays baseball at 4 o'clock tomorrow to watch game three, which would have been awesome to see it play out. Any final thoughts from either of you? Anything we haven't touched before we wrap up this show?
Our 70 listeners tonight on the post-game show are rather quiet.
Yeah, I understand.
Not surprised.
If it was a bad win, I think we'd be a little bit more animated, even though this is a terrible... I'm sorry, if it was a bad loss, we'd be a little bit more animated, but this is just a blowout, so what are you going to do? But no, I have nothing more to add. I just think, look, lot to look forward to. Keep your heads up, chins up, and go Blue Jays, man. All done.
So I have one other question for you guys before
absolutely.
Now that the Blue Jays are eliminated, who the fuck are you rooting for? Because sadly enough, I want to see the Tampa Bay Rays just mow right through the Yankees next round, just because of that whole Josh Chapman thing. I really want that matchup.
Tampa, it's going to be Tampa and LAD. That's what I think.
That's your pick. And who's winning for you?
LAD.
LAD. Okay, the Dodgers finally break out of it, huh?
Yeah.
I see the Rays getting to the World Series for sure. Just with how annoying they've been for the last 10 years, I don't want to see them win at all. You know what? Just for the story, I want to see the Marlins go as far as possible. From a team that's dead in the water to a team that's now up 1-0 against the Cubs and kind of went for it by Starling Marte. They can eliminate the Cubs. It's baseball. Anything could happen. You got a five-gamer next, and your rotation is young and good. The Marlins and the Blue Jays are not too far off. I think the Jays are a little bit where they currently sit. It's the White Sox, the Blue Jays, and the Marlins.
Yeah.
Three young teams that are building. And I think all three of them could be dark horses for the postseason next year, depending on how it goes. So go Marlins.
Why not? All right. Let's go.
I think the AL for me is going to come to Tampa and the White Sox, and I think I'm following you, Adam. I don't see the Dodgers being stopped by the trail that they get to go through on this bracket. It just doesn't strike me as anything. It's almost – I really think they're going to end up playing the Padres next round, and then the Padres, I think they have the pitching to go through the Dodgers. I really don't, regardless of the fact that they do have pretty good pitching.
Right.
So – but, guys, we already have a team eliminated, and who saw this coming? The fucking Astros.
Yep.
The Twins.
Yep.
Yeah. So we were not a team eliminated in 2020 from the playoff format, anything like that. Man, 18 straight playoff losses for the Twins. That sucks.
Yep.
I can't believe how deflated that offense looks without Josh Donaldson.
He wasn't even on the team. He didn't make the roster.
That's nuts.
He's hurt, isn't he?
Yeah, but this is Josh Donaldson.
I would have Rowdy Telezed him all day. Yeah. I would just had him on the roster just to be that guy in the freaking locker room firing everybody up.
Exactly. Because
you know, even if he's sitting on the bench, he's firing everybody up and calling everybody out.
Yep.
But I don't care what happens. If the Astros win, I'm going to be very angry. I would rather even see the Yankees win over the fucking Astros right now. I just can't have them win the World Series after they were caught cheating and being quote unquote not cheating now. It's multiple, all of it.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. But yeah, everybody, thanks for listening in to all of our shows this entire season. It's been a pleasure to bring you Blue Jays coverage ever since Adam joined. And awesome, the dynamic of the three of us, from covering and previewing spring training 1.0 to the uncertainty around COVID-19 to the point where we seriously questioned if there would be a season because of the disputes between Major League Baseball Players Association and the owners, and putting Rob Manfred on trial, doing our
Blue Jay trivia night.
My goodness, there's so many different episodes that we did to milk as much as we could to bridge it to what we did. We successfully bridged it. So, gentlemen, to the both of you, hats off to everybody involved in this, involved to in our listeners who tuned in April and May when things were pretty doom and gloom. When it came to baseball, and salutes to you, Blue Jays fans. You make us want to continue delivering Blue Jays content.
Yeah, we will.
Well, there's more. Just because the season is done for your Blue Jays does not mean that we will be done. We'll be coming at you very soon with some off-season content. And you know what? The off-season can be a very nice distraction from everything that's going on in the world, too. There's still sports. That's a good thing. Unless COVID decides to shut down the NFL, which one team has been affected. You guys got the Bills. I got the 49ers. That'll take us to February and hopefully better things in 2021, gentlemen. But until then, Blue Jays baseball is done. We coming at you all off season long, we promise. And we'll bridge the gap between now and when they report for spring training, hopefully on time, depending on how things go with the vaccine and everything. So with that, guys, let's end it how we normally do with a Let's Go Blue Jays.
Go Blue Jays.